The Adam Art Gallery, based at Victoria University, is 10 years old. To celebrate, the gallery's invited 8 artists to spend 10 days working directly on the gallery's walls. The ongoing work's been open to the public since the artists began this time last week, allowing visitors to see the wall works in process. Finished works will be the backdrop for the gallery's 10th birthday party coming up this Saturday night. At the same time, students from the New Zealand School of Music have been invited to produce a new sound installation between the 2 sets of sliding doors at the entrance to the gallery. They've been doing field recordings and developing their composition while the artists have been at work, and the result will be part of the Wallworks exhibition from this weekend. Adam Art Gallery Director Christina Barton is the vision behind all this, and she's with us now. Welcome, Christina. How are you?
Hello, I'm well, thank you.
A very smart idea, bringing all these different aspects together.
It is exciting, definitely.
So what made you think of putting, for instance, art, sound and design into the space?
Well, it's one of the key features of the Adam Art Gallery that we are actually located on campus, and we have a music school and we have an architecture and design school close by. And while we don't have a fine arts school, we still obviously show a great deal of visual art. So bringing different parts of the university together and teaming them up with artists and then using the extraordinary architecture of our building seemed to us the right kind of thing to do for this special occasion.
Bit of a no-brainer really when you think about it, isn't it, to bring these different aspects together?
It is, it is.
Did you have any trouble persuading anyone?
I was amazed at the enthusiasm and generosity of everyone involved, and I've really do have to take my hat off to the artists who are working away up on the hill as I speak. They've really risen to the challenge. The challenge in particular of our very high and large walls. What we'll be seeing are some of the largest works that some of these artists have ever produced, and it's actually very exciting for us to have them working and also for us to see them at work and to see how each of them approaches this particular challenge.
Absolutely. Those walls are high. How many metres are they?
Well, in places, they're at least 5 metres high.
And I guess you've given the artists carte blanche, have you, to where on the walls they start work?
Well,
Or have you divided it up?
We were quite careful about lining up artists with particular locations, thinking about what they do and thinking about what would suit them. So they have each got their own wall or their own zone to work in, and each of them has responded to that particular brief in thinking about what they're going to do there. So they've done a lot of thinking and planning before they've arrived in the gallery. They haven't just arrived with, you know, a few pots of paint and are slapping it around. They're very thoughtful in their preparation and in how they're actually conducting themselves in the space.
Yeah, you'd need to be, wouldn't you? Because
yes.
You've only got 10 days or so. It's not a lot of time to redo.
No. Oh, no. You've got one shot at it.
That's right. Because, I mean, normally, you know, we work on something in the privacy of your own home or studio, and you can muck around for a bit, can't you?
You can, yes, yes.
But a deadline makes a huge difference to how you approach your work.
A deadline does, exactly. Plus, you have people walking into the space watching you as you're working, so they've had to contend with that as an added pressure. But they seem to be performing remarkably well.
And have people been coming in?
They have, yes. Yes, they have. And, of course, I'm encouraging everyone to come back again once the works are complete. For me, the fascinating thing about seeing each artist at work is how differently they prepare, and each of them has got a table with their various equipment and paint and samples and drawings, etc., laid out. But each of them is like a little sort of self-portrait, if you like, of their working method. Tells us quite a lot about who they are as artists and just how they work. And the differences between them are as intriguing as what they're actually doing on the walls.
So you were quite careful, I imagine, Christina, on who you chose.
Yes. In some instances, I have selected artists who are known for working in this way, who respond to a particular situation and who are quite used to working under the pressure of time. But there's at least one artist, Michael Harrison, who has never worked on anything larger than a sheet of paper. And when I approached him, I was rather unsure whether he would accept our invitation, because literally he is a very delicate, draftsman who makes these exquisite images on paper that almost seem slight. But actually he accepted the invitation, and it's been the most miraculous thing seeing how he's addressed the problem of scaling up an image to the size of a wall.
I can imagine that for him it might actually be quite liberating, because
I hope so.
You have to approach it so differently.
You do. And I've really enjoyed seeing him taking up this challenge. I hope it does open doors for him.
I'm talking to Christina Barton from the Adam Art Gallery about Wallworks, work in progress at the moment, which will open. Well, I suppose it's already open, isn't it, Christina?
It is. It is open. It's a building site in some regards,
yeah.
or a kind of a studio in many senses. But that, I think, was part of our idea that to mark our 10th birthday, we wanted to open the doors, allow artists in, to treat the space as a place of production rather than simply as a display space, and to provide our audiences with an opportunity to see things in process. We thought that that was quite a nice way of showing how we think and operate, but also a nice way to mark an occasion not as an end point or a high point, but simply as a passage from one point in time to the next, so that there's a sense of motion and mobility to what we're doing.
And the very temporal nature of art also comes to the fore, doesn't it?
It does.
Because these are purely temporary works.
And the tragedy will be that in a few weeks' time we'll be painting over these works and they'll disappear into the fabric of the building.
That's right. So I suppose the place is full of ladders and scaffolding, is it?
It is, yes.
No issues of safety to worry about?
We have had to be quite careful, but we've got a good team of people supporting the artists,
yeah.
Yes.
So let's talk about the Adam itself in 10 years. You've been there for how many now, Tina?
Just over 2 years in my capacity as director of the gallery, but I've been at Victoria right from the start of the gallery and remember to a time before it was even there.
Just the space between two buildings, wasn't it?
Yes.
How do you think it has responded to that challenge of being an on-campus gallery? Because that's quite a specific thing.
It is. I think we do suffer from our situation up on the hill.
You're removed from the city, you mean?
We're removed from the city. So it's a trek to get up to visit us. But we work hard to enable visitors, to provide a programme that's so exciting that they want to and will make a point of coming up. But we also recognise that we have a captive audience on campus. So we work hard to draw students into the building through various means and, of course, to involve staff as well. So while we're always wanting more people to come and visit, we also feel that there's a certain kind of freedom in being on campus where, you know, you're dedicated to the kind of higher learning and to the principles of intellectual endeavour, where we can also aim for that approach to making. So it can be a quiet and contemplative space to visit.
And
what we can do there might not be all that popular.
Well, exactly. And I know one of the reasons the Adam was set up, or one of the rationales behind the philosophy, was to provide a forum for critical thinking about art and art history.
Yes.
That's quite a nebulous thing, I suppose, for a gallery to do. But
yes,
you have talks and you invite people in and you do works which aren't necessarily easily accessible.
That's right. Well, even in this particular project, when you think about it and you think what an exhibition normally consists of, you go into a beautifully appointed space, you see finished works of art, and you don't have an opportunity to see how those works came into being. The idea of Wallworks was to show something that is normally hidden, and by doing that, to reveal something about the process of art, but also to question what an exhibition normally is, so that's where the critical dimension of our program comes into play, so that there's an opportunity to reflect on, well, what is an exhibition? When does it begin? When does it end?
And why is that? It's a very artificial constraint around it, isn't it?
Exactly.
Then?
So it's a frame. It's almost theatrical. You know, the curtains go up.
Well, you talk about a show, don't you?
On.
I've got a show on at the
Adam.
Exactly.
Adam. Exactly. Yeah. So we don't want to sort of destroy an illusion, but we do want to enable people to think about what is entailed in the whole character of display. And I think that is very much where our critical agenda comes into play.
You've just been away a month or so ago, going to Venice and to Rotterdam, Tina. Are people in those cities or in other parts of the world also questioning the way you've been mentioning?
Yes, most definitely. I think there's a tremendous interest in thinking about what galleries do, who they serve, and how they can perform in different ways for audiences and play a kind of social, even political role. So there are new
models.
Can
you give me some examples of something like that?
Well, there's been quite a lengthy now tradition of exhibitions that don't take conventional form of paintings hanging on a wall, for example, of exhibitions that really consist of artists and thinkers and writers and curators coming together to discuss, to exchange ideas, to treat the space as a forum for talking, for thinking. And then if work is produced, it's often produced as a result of that inquiry, and it can often take quite unconventional forms. I've been particularly interested in seeing how other galleries on university campuses perform, and this is definitely a feature of what they are doing. Of course, on campus, there's also the opportunity to teach students or enable students to learn about how to put an exhibition together. So sometimes they are very actively involved, and the results may not be as slick and professional as a professional gallery. But on the other hand, there's an opportunity to learn and to learn what is entailed in putting an exhibition together.
It's quite a privileged position, because of just thinking, you're not like a dealer gallery. You don't have to represent artists in the way that a dealer gallery does. You don't have the responsibility that a public gallery like Te Papa or any one of the many public galleries we have around the country have. You're quite lucky, really, because you're funded by both the Adam Foundation and the university, am I right?
We're just funded by the university.
Just by the university.
Yes.
That does
yes.
give you a really wonderful singular perspective.
It does. We have a real opportunity, therefore, a certain kind of freedom, if you like. But of course, we have to work hard to achieve what we want to. The university provides base core funding, and if we have very ambitious aims, we have to go out and raise money just like other galleries.
Oh, I see. So you're
we're not
with
completely immune from the sort of economic realities. I couldn't say that.
In terms of the economic realities, how do you think the artists that you have at the working here at the moment and in the community generally are coping at the moment, Tina?
Well, I do think artists are extraordinarily resilient, and there are only a very small number who live by their work. So I'm always amazed at the extent to which artists will work for virtually nothing in the interests of getting their work out there. I mean, in a situation like Wallworks, most of the artists do have dealer representation and do make works that are saleable as well. Not all of them do, but certainly the majority do. And I guess those sales are continuing. But in a way, the Adam is there to actually let them set aside those particular concerns and to do something that they couldn't do in another context, and to give them a certain opportunity to play, to explore, to experiment.
Are you happy with the amount of interaction that there is between the arts community that you work in and the general public?
I think there could always be more.
Mm.
And I do think that there are unnatural and unnecessary barriers. And those barriers are self-imposed on both sides.
It's partly being in a gallery puts a barrier up immediately,
yes,
doesn't it?
Yes, and I think, that somebody who doesn't know anything about art finds coming into a gallery an intimidating experience.
It is. It can be very intimidating.
On the other hand, I think that the art world sometimes doesn't work hard enough to build bridges in order to enable people to come in and respond to what's there and to trust their own instincts and feelings. Because, in fact, although contemporary art is often cited as being difficult, I don't think it is nearly as difficult as people make out if they just trust themselves and their own responses. It was very interesting with our last exhibition, which was equally inventive, if you like, in which one of the artists, Fiona Connor, put our entire offices into the gallery as part of her exhibition. And that gave
us... your messy desk and everything.
Absolutely, as it was. And that gave us 8 weeks to interact quite directly with our audiences. And it was fascinating because we would have people coming in and who would look at us with a, you know, scratch their heads and say, what on earth is going on here? And we would be able to talk to them. And by the end of the conversation, you would understand that they had understood what was going on and we had learned something from them in terms of the kinds of questions that they were asking us. And so it was a really interesting two-way dialogue.
Let's get back to Wallworks, if we can, just for a minute. Now, I mentioned before the sound installation, but you've also got some interior architecture students working with you on Wallworks. What are they doing?
Well, this is really exciting. We have an actual party on Saturday, the 19th of September, and we're going to have refreshments, you know, food and drink, and we're also we've got two people coming to DJ for us and one performer, so we'll have live entertainment as well. Now, in thinking about how to serve food and refreshments and where to place the performance, we realised that we needed some kind of temporary furniture, and rather than use conventional equipment, we decided that this would be a great opportunity to work with design students, drawing on the program of interior architecture. So we've got 60 second year students who are designing us temporary furniture that will serve as serveries and as DJ stations for the night.
So what sort of brief have you given them? Does it have to be very practical?
Well, they were grouped into 10 separate groups. They were each given 1 year of the gallery's history, and they've developed structures to a very, very tight budget that in some way respond to a feature of our program or to some kind of event or some aspect of our history. And these, of course, are highly conceptual in that they might appear like a kind of some kind of structure made out of bamboo, but there's been a thought process that has gone into these works that has carefully pitched to our history and thought through in relation to the actual architecture of the building. So on the night, people coming to the party will be able to walk around and pick up a glass of wine or something to eat from a station that has been designed by a group of students working collaboratively together.
And have you been surprised at what they've come up with? Or haven't you seen them yet?
No, we have most definitely seen them. We've been working very closely with them. And again, it's a wonderful synergy between us, the students, and the performers. We're also involving the local student radio station who will be beaming out live on the night. So there's been a whole host of people involved together in realising this particular project.
And you mentioned before your temporary furniture won't stay at the gallery forever, but a little replica might.
Well, yes. The furniture has been designed specifically for the night.
Yeah.
It will be taken away probably the next day, and then we will have a display of models that the students have prepared prior to the construction of the actual structures, so that there will be a trace that visitors can view after the fact.
Oh, that sounds great. So this is the party, which I imagine is invited only guests on Saturday night?
Well, it is invited only, but we've invited everyone we can possibly think of who's had anything to do with the gallery over the last 10 years.
And then the exhibition will continue until the 4th of October.
That's right.
Well, Tina, Have a great party. Really nice to have you in. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Christina Barton, who's the director of the Adam Art Gallery.